Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you, we praise you. Lord, we exalt you, we magnify you. Lord, I'm asking God that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Here we go. I've entitled this evening's message, We Cry Out, Abba, Father. We cry out, Abba, Father. Now, before we get into the study, one of the things that I wanted to share is when a person gets saved and gets filled with the Holy Spirit, I know that's what happened to me. I cannot testify what happened to you. But when I got saved and I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I knew within my spirit that I was crying out to God and saying, Papa, Abba. Abba is saying daddy. That's what it means, Abba. In the Hebrew, Abba. You cry out. You know when a baby is born, right away it cries, doesn't it? Well, when we get born again, we cry out no differently. But now we're crying out to God. Why? Because we have experienced the new birth. When you experience the new birth, you will cry within your being, Abba. So Paul didn't know how to identify it other than what happened to him has happened to us, no differently. So let's go to the Word of God and let's look at what takes place in these next few verses. Here we go. In verse 15, and it reads, For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, what? Abba, Father. You see, we've been adopted by King Jesus. Amen. Did you know that? Did you know that you were adopted? Praise God. Did you know there was nothing we did, but he chose us? Can I get amen? Amen. He chose us. Look at verse 16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So when you're born again, the Holy Spirit living inside will bear witness with your own spirit. How many can testify that when you got saved, that the Holy Spirit inside you was greater than the spirit that you already had? It came in and it was like, whoa! It blew us away. It blows me away every time God just ignites in me because I know it's him. Can I get an amen? And so the Word backs it up. It bears witness. You catch that? The Spirit, Holy Spirit himself, bears witness with our spirit. So when he's in there, you can feel him totally. Now, I know that we're not saved by feelings. We're saved by faith. But when he comes in, you will feel him. Can I get an amen? You will feel him. And the ones that don't feel him, something didn't. You need to go back in the oven. You came out a little uncooked. You know, I'm just joking, but look at this, verse 16. The Spirit himself bears what? Witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Look at all these benefits. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may what? Also be glorified together. Now, did you catch that word? If indeed we what? Suffer. No one wants to hear that word. But there are things we're going to suffer for what? For the cause of Christ. Right now, we're in a nation right now that hates God. And it's going to get radical. You think it's going to get better? But listen, there are going to be some things that we may have to suffer. But God is so good. Amen? Amen. God is greater. Amen. God is greater. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Amen. Okay. There we go. Saints of God, if we have a technical issue here, but praise God, you can hear me now, right?
Yes.
Praise God Almighty. So let's go now once again to verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not what? Worthy to be compared with the glory which should be revealed what? In us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Turn to your neighbor and say, we are the sons of God. Look at this. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Look at verse 21 right up here. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. That's who we are. And what it means here is this earth is going to be delivered unto us in a perfect world. Can I get amen? Because right now it moans and groans just like we want to change. Well, the earth is groaning too. Thank you, God. We'll be able to put our hand inside of a snake hole and not get bit. It'll come out and want to play. Can I get an amen? Yeah. Praise God. How many can't wait for that? Yeah. Spider will give you a kiss on the cheek. It won't want to bite you. Oh, yes. Look at this. Verse 22. For we know that the whole creation, look at that. It's right here. It groans and labors with birth pains together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit. We have the, you know what that means? We got the Holy Ghost first. Can I get amen?
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. How many can't wait for that new body? So we eagerly wait, can I get amen, with great expectation. And let me just say this, God is faithful. God will deliver, can I get amen?
Amen.
If God said he's going to change us in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, guess what? That's how it's going to happen. Praise God. We will be changed and we will be like him. Ooh, I can't wait for that new body. Praise God. Praise God. Man, you've heard me share this. I'll be about 60, 70 pounds lighter. And maybe that new body has some hair on it. I don't know. I know one thing. It won't be decaying. It won't be growing old. It won't be diseased. It won't have any sin. Woo! I can't wait for that new one. Thank you, God. God's going to make that brand new body tailor-made for you. Amen. Amen? Okay. So let's break this down. In Romans chapter 8, verse 15, look at this. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, what? Abba, Father. And so, saints, this slavery to fear most likely refers to life under the law. You see, at one time, we didn't know how to cry out Abba, right? Why? Because we were bound to this flesh. And the only two people that we can say Mama and Papa was our earthly parents. But never could we cry out to the one who created us. Because guess what? We didn't know him. We had no knowledge of God. And so Paul implies that believers are not to be like slaves who cower in fear before their master. Instead, we are adopted children who can call on God our Father. Can I get an amen? And so later on in Romans, Paul writes about this, and I want a little ahead of us. Let's look at this for a moment in Romans 11. And as some of the branches were broken off, and you being a wild olive tree were grafted in among them, and with them became a partaker of the root and the fatness of the olive tree, do not boast against the branches. But if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. What is that saying? What does that mean? You know what that means? Is the branches that broke off, okay, were the Jews that rejected Christ. So then he gathered us and grafted us in. Can I get an amen? How many so blessed to know that God said, okay, I'll come back for them later, but now I'm coming after you. Thank you, Lord. And he came and saved us. So we have to be careful. We have to say, oh God, thank you for this great salvation. We cannot complain. Listen, we didn't come from the root. Can I get amen? The Jews came from the root. We were grafted in. So we have to be those kind of people that, for instance, I'm just going to paint a picture here. Let's just say your neighbor was throwing a big, huge reception, a wedding, and you looked over the fence and they had all your favorite food. They had everything there. Everything that you love was right over there, right? It was there, right? And then you get a knock on your door, and one of them says, would you like to join us? We want to share some of this good food with you. So are you going to say, no, you're going to go over and what? Be thankful, right? You're going to go over and say, wow, I don't deserve this feast, but thank you. Well, guess what? We don't deserve this great salvation, but thank you. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. God came knocking at our door, huh, didn't he? And says, you know what? I want to save you. Come on, follow me. Pick up your cross and follow me. And so we were the wild olive, what, branches that he grafted in. Wow. And so everything, though, I need you to keep this in mind. Everything that was promised to Abraham has now been promised to us. And so we can know this is true. Why? Because the Holy Spirit within you and I tells us it is so. Aren't you so blessed to know that God's presence, the Holy Spirit speaks to us and confirms in his word who we are, what God is doing. You see, the Holy Spirit not only adopts us as God's children, but he also assures us of our family status, that we are sons and daughters of God. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed to know that? Listen, you know how many billions of people? There's like 7 point something billion in the world. And not everyone is saved. True. Not everyone is saved. Can I get an amen? Amen. Well, guess what? You and I are saved. Amen. And we had nothing to do with it. Come on, don't think for one moment, oh, look what I did to get saved. No. Matter of fact, we deserve what? Ooh, I'm glad you said it. deserve it. We deserve it. We deserve to be destroyed. But Jesus came and died for you and I. Can I get amen? Come on, give God a shout of praise for that. Thank you, God. And so, look what I found in Galatians right up here. In Galatians 4, 6 through 7. And because you are sons, turn to your neighbor and say, you are sons and daughters. Look what he sent. God sent forth the spirit of his son in your hearts. And right here it confirms, crying out, Abba, Father. Woo, I remember when I got saved, my hands went up. Jesus. It's like automatic. It's like when an infant is thrust through her mother's womb and starts to cry. Well, guess what? We cry for Abba, Father now. Once we get filled with the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but what? A son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. You know what? Until you understand trust law, when I went to real estate school, we had to understand a segment. And there's many segments of real estate. But we had to really look at trust law. Living trust and things in that nature. And you had to understand who the executors were, who the heirs were, who the beneficiaries are. All these things involved in a trust so that when the time comes and whoever is the trust belongs to has deceased, now they can pass it on to their heirs. Okay? So guess what? God has entitled us to be heirs of Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, come on. Everything that Christ has belongs to us. We're joint heirs. I know it's hard to fathom that. Some of you may not even have $10 in your wallet. But what do you mean? Yes. Number one, you have something that most people don't have. And that's what? Eternal life. You have something that a lot of people don't have, the Spirit of God living inside you. Oh, come on. It doesn't make us better. It doesn't make us goody-good-two-shoe. No, it means that we were worthy, God, but yet you still chose us. Amen. This is why we have to be a thankful people, not an arrogant people. We can't walk around all boastful and be arrogant. No, we need to walk in humility. Why? Why? Because we weren't worthy of this precious gift. We weren't worthy of God giving us his son. And then giving us all these benefits with it. Praise God. Like you, brother, you've been working at your job for how many years?
45.
45. Just imagine the last day you worked there. See ya.
Yeah.
No pension, no severance pay, no nothing. Thank you for your service. Bye-bye. But God has given us everything.
Amen.
Everything that he created belongs to us now. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I know you don't see this yet, but you will. You will. God will reveal it in his time. But we can read the promises of God. And if you read the promises, then you have to say, God, I'm going to believe your word because it's yes and amen.
Right.
This is not just ink on pages. These are promises of God.
Amen.
Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. You see, the spirit within changes our obedience to God from slavery to a relationship where God is both our master and our savior, but more so, our loving Father.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, he's the creator. Yes, he's our master. Yes, he's our Lord. But he's our loving Father. He created you and I. Thank you, God. So let's move on to verse 16 in Romans chapter 8. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are what? Children of God. And so, saints, the scriptures indicate that believers can expect inward confirmation by the Spirit. How many of you can honestly say that God bared witness in your spirit when you got saved? When the Holy Ghost came, huh? Man, I say it like this, in a simple way. Let's just say you had an empty pocket. You put your hand in the pocket, and there's nothing there. You pull up your hand. Then you go back in there again, and there's $100. It's like, where did this come from? I didn't put this in there. Well, when God fills you with the Holy Ghost, it's like, where did this come from? You're going, oh my gosh. It becomes an oh my gosh moment. And guess what? He never leaves us nor forsakes us. Once he comes in, he's in there for good. Can I get an amen? Been 35 years now. Thank you, God. It's only by his grace. But look what I found in Ephesians here to confirm this in the word. You know, I can say, yeah, he's with us. But, okay, show me where he's with us forever. Right here in the word, Ephesians. Look at this. Ephesians 1:13. In him, you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed. You catch that? God sealed it with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. We are guaranteed sealed believers. Oh, that's right. Right now, we're going through because we haven't got that new body. So we're going to experience still, like everyone else, sicknesses, setbacks. We go through emotional roller coasters every day. That's right. We go through that because we still live in this body of what? Flesh. But when we get that new body, it'll be all gone. This old body will be all gone, and we get the new one. I know it's hard to even fathom that, but you got to believe it. Can I get amen? I wake up every morning, I'm believing you, God. I'm believing you, God. I'm believing you, God. It may not feel like it, but I don't. But I'm not going to go by what I feel. I'm going to go by what I believe.
Amen.
What you spoke in your word that you promised us this.
Yes.
Can I get amen?
Amen?
Our very capacity and desire to approach God as our Father is itself evidence of the Spirit's witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So let me ask you this. Do you just get up to pray amidst, or do you know that you're praying to him? Oh, come on. We're not praying to the air. We're not praying, let's make believe. Oh, come on. We know he's there, right? Because he has changed us.
Yes.
So we become motivated by the Holy Spirit to continue to seek him. Let's move on to verse 17 of Romans chapter 8. And it reads, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer. Oh man, no one likes to hear that one. If we play with him. If we dance with him. No, if we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Did you know that people that truly are sold out, I'm not saying you're not, I'm not saying I'm not, but most people that are sold out to Christ, they don't have that many friends. You know why? Because you stand for righteousness. Because you stand for goodness. Because you'll speak the truth. You'll speak the truth in love. And even your own family will turn their backs on you. They'll even, you know, put a knife in your back. Oh, come on. But you know what? God has given us the grace to go through. Can I get amen? Listen, Jesus never cursed one out. The only people that he had a hard time with were the religious folks. But for the common people, he had mercy. And he had mercy on us. So you have mercy on them. You know what? You have to come to a conclusion. I was once like them. So I wasn't no different than them. You got to give them that. You got to give them that space that, God, I'm waiting for you to save them. And if you don't, that's because that's your choice. I'm going to still believe that you will. Can I get amen? We have to have that hope. The hope of glory. And so the Jews were convinced that they were the Lord's inheritance only. Only. And that is such that they would inherit the promised land. Paul, though, explains this, that God's promise includes all who believe in Christ, both Jews and Gentiles. That's the difference. That's why they didn't like Paul. The Jews hated Paul. You know why? Because he included us. He came after us. Hallelujah. He was driven by the Holy Spirit to reach us. And because we are God's children, we are his heirs and we'll share. Guess what? We're going to share the treasures with God. Look what I found right up here in Galatians. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God. Through who?
Christ.
Through Christ. And so the Jews thought that was to be the promised land. Instead, it is another land in God's kingdom. We are God's children only because of Christ's suffering on our behalf. How many are so blessed to know that he had to suffer so that we could have life? He had to experience death that we can live. Only he could do that. Only he could take on that punishment, that beating. And we all saw, you know, depictions of it. The Passion of the Christ was kind of graphic. But it still wasn't, it still didn't say it all. Josephus, who was an eyewitness account, there's many writings on Josephus. I was there at the time. He wrote in his writings that he was naked before men and women. Meaning the pictures that we see in movies or in paintings, he always had like a little terry cloth. He was naked before the world. He was beaten so bad that you couldn't tell his gender no more. His godness was that raw from all the beatings and the whippings. And so you couldn't tell whether he was male or female no more. That's how bad he took that beating for you and I. And what did he tell them? What came out of his mouth? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Only God can do that. You and I, we would be up there cursing someone out. What up? What up? What up? Oh, come on. I go, honey, go get my handgun. I forgot it.
I'll fight back.
I need to shoot someone. Oh, help us, God. Help us, God. Wow. Help us. Huh?
He still loves us that way of thinking.
And so look what I found in Galatians 3:28. Look at this. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are what? Adam's seed and heirs according to the what?
Promise. Yes.
This is a promise to you. This is a promise to me. And I'm going to bank on the promise. Can I get amen?
Amen.
I'm going to believe the promise.
Right.
Oh, that's right. I may not feel like I've been promised anything, but I'm not going by my feelings. I'm not going by the neuropathy in the feet.
Amen.
I'm going by the promises of God.
Yes.
That I'm
going to
be with him forever. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And he cannot lie, because he's not a man that could lie.
That's right, man. Thank you,
Aren't you so blessed that God cannot lie to us? Jesus, help us. Thank you, God. And so as believers, therefore, if we are to share his glory, we must also share at times in his suffering. You and I are going to suffer some things. You know, one person stands out in my mind right now as I think about the suffering. How many remember Brother Eddie Juarez and his lovely wife, Esther? He loved her all the way to the end. When we were at Temple Beth Shalom, and she was finally had to be confined to the wheelchair, he brought her to the house of God. He would pick her up. He ministered to her. He loved her all the way to the end. You know, what I saw in that man was a glimpse of Christ, the hope of glory in him. He showed me something that is like, wow, God. He died to self. He could put her in a home. Like most people would want to do. Well, I can't deal with this no more. He loved her all the way. I'm always going to think of him as someone that walked with the utmost integrity. Yes, he did. Utmost integrity. He showed me another side of God in a human. Because we're all human. That he showed me something. And I'm very thankful for him. I'm glad that I saw that. I saw that being demonstrated before my eyes. That, you know what? We can do it too. We can go that extra mile if we have to. Because you know why? Because this life is but for a moment. Yes. This life is going to pass away. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. We will enjoy our future inheritance if our relationship with Christ is genuine enough so that we will face suffering for his sake. When you're living right before God, guess what? God will allow things to happen to glorify him. Can I get an amen? Let's move on to verse 18 now. Verse 18 in Romans chapter 8. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Wow. Paul was basically saying, my life is coming to an end. I'm finishing this race. And I can't wait to hear God say, well done, my good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. But what he said here, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. You know, this man suffered. The majority of the epistles were written in prison. He was chained up with other prisoners. And they weren't Donovan's prisons. They didn't have flat screen LED TVs. They didn't have hot and cold running showers. Just imagine they were locked up to one another, chained up, and the stench that was there. And yet he says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory. We're going to see the brilliance of God. We're going to see a world that he creates for us. So glorious. We can't even fathom the thought right now. But yet he promised that for us. You see, he completes that thought with the verse concluding that the sufferings we now face are nothing compared to the glory he will give us later. He's going to give us some things that we're going to blow us away, saints. You see, my friends, the present suffering is temporary. while the future glory is eternal. It's eternal. We're going to live forever and ever. And how long is forever?
Forever.
Paul had written to the Corinthians, "For our present troubles are quite small and won't last very long." I found it right here. Look at this. In 2 Corinthians 4:16. Look at this. "Therefore, do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing." Meaning this body of flesh eventually is going to go to the dust. Can I get amen? "Yet the inward man is being renewed day by day." That's the inward man. "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment." Turn to your neighbor and say, "Your affliction is but for a moment." It's for a moment. You know, my wife prays for me every day. She lays hands. She prays. She sees what I'm going through. And as she's praying for me, I hear the Holy Spirit. It's only but for a moment. Whether you get relief or not, it's only but for a moment. And God's going to make things all good in His time.
Amen.
Am I thankful for her prayers? Yes, absolutely. Because it brings me great joy and comfort. Knowing that my wife loves me and wants to see me feel be better. But look at this. "Which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Man, far exceed this life. God is saying, you don't even have a clue to what I'm about to give you. It's going to be mind-blowing. Well, that's right. Hallelujah. Look at verse 18. "While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." See, we don't see those things yet, but they're eternal. We only see the things we see, which are what? Eroding. You could buy a brand new house, and within a year or so, it already needs fixing. That's right. It's for a moment. The fresh smell of a brand new car goes away in about 6 months. That smell goes away. You know that, oh, that new car smell. Ooh. Goes away. It's only but for a moment here. But what God has made for us. And look at this, the weight of glory. Man, my goodness. Look at this. "While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen is what? Eternal." Man, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Suffering is part of the process of sharing in Christ's death. It will culminate in sharing His glory. So as we continue to die to self, He's not telling us to die. Die to self, meaning learn how to put this sinfulness in subjection. Learn how to be obedient to God. Learn how to say, just say no, the things that what? Injure us, that causes us to sin. Men, things we shouldn't be looking at, things we shouldn't be hearing, and vice versa. It works both ways. But I can't wait till it's all done away with. And then we're not going to have that yoke on us no more. I don't want that yoke on me no more. I want the new body now. Verse 19 in Romans chapter 8. Look at this. "For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God." And so saints, human beings and the rest of creation presently face suffering. We know that. And both will be glorified in the future. Glorified. You see, the process is this. When we come to salvation, immediately we are justified. And what does justification mean? Just as if we never sinned. So he eradicates the sin. Okay? Then the next process is sanctification. Meaning, he's working on us. It doesn't come overnight. We learn how to, well, you know what? I don't do that no more. And you got to be careful with brand new Christians. Don't try to tell them what to do, and you got to do this and do that. You know why? You'll cut so deep, and you'll walk away, and they'll start bleeding.
Let God do the work.
Let God do the work.
Amen.
Can I get amen?
That's right.
Ain't no one called you to be the surgeon.
That's right.
Turn them over to Jesus.
Amen.
Say, God, you bless your child. You saved them. Bless them.
Yep.
Matter of fact, my advice might choke them. Choke them off. They may run from the house of God. You got to be careful. You got to love these brand new saints. They'll learn how to get it. They'll learn because God will teach them. The Holy Spirit will teach them. Can I get it? Praise God. And so when Adam sinned, God sentenced all creation, unfortunately. Because of them, we have inherited what? The sin nature, right? Right up here in Genesis. Look at this. Genesis 3:17. Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Wow. He heeded the wrong voice. And let's not blame the wife now. Because where was Adam when the serpent spoke? Did you know? And we all think that it was like a snake that spoke. This was a being in the garden that was probably there all the time. And I'm learning some things about the prior destruction of the earth, prior to that. Because if you read Ezekiel, Isaiah, it talks about Satan, how beautiful he was. And he was kind of somewhat reptilian looking.
Colorful,
yes. And so he could have been in there, in the midst of them, all the whole time, but waiting for his moment.
Right.
Because notice she wasn't startled. Oh, I didn't know you can talk.
Right.
No. He just started talking to her. And she started talking back. It was a conversation. And so we have to say, okay, this wasn't a little, like, you know, our children's books. It was a little snake that slivered up and started speaking.
He cursed him to the ground, remember, after.
Cursed him.
To the belly. You know, he said, now you're to the belly.
Right. So he cursed him
after
the fall. And so he was there.
That's good. Yep.
He was there. He was there the whole time.
Yep.
He waited. He waited for that moment.
And he's still waiting for the moment.
Same with us. When we get saved, he waits and waits, and then he comes and he tries to pounce on you. And a trial will come right away. And so, since then, the world has suffered decay, pollution, largely because they have forgotten or ignored the responsibilities and the stewardship that God placed with them. They lost it all. They were basically thrown out of the garden. But did you know how it started in the garden? It's going to come back to the garden? Because when we read Revelation at the very end, we're going to be eating out the midst of the garden from the tree of good, of what? Of life. So what started out in the garden, we're going to go back to the garden. Praise God. But this time we're going to be like he intended us to be. Like Adam and Eve, without sin. Praise God. I can't wait. How many can't wait for that? So let's move on to verse 20. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. You see, saints, when Adam sinned, everything on earth was subjected to God's curse. That is, to futility, change, and decay. Because of that one decision, now all this has entered into our world. But God's going to change it. We all know creation right now is cursed because it's unable to attain the purposes for which it was made for in the beginning. In other words, nothing on this earth can live forever. Did you notice everything has its life and then it dies? Plants will grow and then it'll die. Animals live so long, it dies. Animals of the sea live so long and it dies. Everything on this earth dies until Jesus changes it. And when he changes it, we're going to live forever. We don't have to worry about dying no more because he defeated it on the cross. Just imagine, how many can't wait for that? I think I did 4 this year. Funeral. Celebration of lives. And the hardest one was my friend Frank Scott. Went to school since we were in elementary, junior high, played football together. And then we had ministry called Brothers in Christ. Even after his injury when he was a senior, he became a paraplegic. He never walked again after his senior year. And he lived until the age of 65. My age, we all graduate the same year. And when I came to his bedside, he said, Brother Fee, will you speak at my funeral? Absolutely, brother. Say no more. And that's when Yolanda went ahead a day. I stayed behind to preach at his funeral. I had to hold that promise. But one thing was certain is that the moment he closed his eyes, he was with Jesus. You see, God's going to make it all beautiful again. How many believe that? God's going to make it all beautiful again. We find this in Revelation. Look at this right up here in Revelation 22, 1 through 5. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and the Lamb. And in the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life. There it is, the tree of life. The same tree that Eve picked the fruit. Look at this. Which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. This one tree in the middle is going to bring healing to the humans that are on this earth. You got to remember, during the 1,000-year millennial reign, we are going to be in our brand new bodies, but there's going to be humans here too. Wow. And that's why Jesus said, you and I, we're going to rule and what? Reign with him. So in other words, we're going to have responsibility. He may have us governing over certain areas around the world. Teaching, watching, not policing because there won't be no sin. Just imagine, no sin in the world for 1,000 years. How many can't wait for that? And so let's move on to verse 22. We got 2 more verses. Oh, look at this. I forgot. And Revelation, the healing of the nations. Look at that. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb of it will be in it. And his servants shall serve him. That's us. We shall serve him. They shall see his face and his name shall be on their foreheads. Hallelujah. Right here. His name. There should be no night there. There's no need, no lamp, no light of the sun. For the Lord gives them light. And they shall what?
Reign.
For how long?
Forever.
Forever and forever. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I can't wait. When we leave here tonight, when you go home, you drive home, just know that He has a place stored up for us that when we get there, it's going to blow us away. We're going to see Him face to face. We're going to meet Jesus face to face. That's what it says. They shall see His face, and His name shall be on their foreheads. If God said that, you got to believe it. Can I get an amen? I'm believing God for this.
Absolutely.
Hallelujah. We're going to see Him. And we're going to love on Him.
Yeah.
And He's going to love on us. And He's going to just wrap His arms around us. He's going to tell us how much He loves us. And there's not going to be no more sin up there.
Amen.
No more pain. No more suffering. Wow. So, verse 21. And it reads, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. I need you to know this. Turn to your neighbor and say, all this is for you.
Hallelujah.
And then one last thing, say to them, it's all from God. All from God. All from Him. There's nothing we can give to one another to make life better.
Nope.
Can I get amen?
Amen?
It's all coming from God and Him alone. And so verse 22, look at this. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. So right now we're going through birth pains. For you women that have experienced childbirth, you remember those birth pains. Some of you still have vivid memories of it, huh? It's horrible sometimes. Well, I had a similar one. They said when you have a gallbladder attack, it's similar.
It's up there. It's up there. I got it.
I bet you know.
But birth pains let you know that the baby's coming.
Yeah.
So the birth pains we see in this world, the wars, the rumors of wars, nations against nations, we're seeing deceivers, we're seeing liars, we're seeing transgenders, homosexuals, we're seeing all this things that are coming out of hell.
Yeah.
It's not Leave It to Beaver no more.
Yep.
It's no longer Father Knows Best. It's about two men in a tub now. Help us, God. Help us, God. And we close with verse 23. Not only that, but we also have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the what? Adoption, the redemption of our body. What does that mean? We can't wait. We're waiting for that new body, the redemption, which Jesus paid on the cross. He's coming back to give us the new body. And I heard,
amen.
You heard His voice. What did He say?
I heard a town crier. I heard, prepare for the king. Prepare for the king. Jesus is coming. Prepare for the king.
Prepare for the king.
It was loud.
Prepare for the king. We need to prepare for the king. Can I get amen? We need to prepare for the king. So let's pray. Father, we thank You. We thank You for this evening. We thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for Your grace. We thank You for Your mercy. We thank You for Your loving kindness. We even thank You for the little glitch that we had earlier. And Lord, thank You for straightening it out, God. But Lord, I pray, God, that You would do something mighty right now. Lord, I'm praying, God, that those right now who may be watching on YouTube and Facebook, that You would do something that they cannot do within their own strength, and that save them. Would You do something so radical, God, like you did for us. Many of us who are here today because of what you did in our lives, many people still walk around in unbelief on what you did for us. Some people still can't believe, I knew that person. And now we're walking with you. It's only by your grace. It's only but your mercy. I'm praying that maybe there's someone that's never given their life to the Lord Jesus. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's here to pray with me, to pray for you, that you would surrender your heart, and that tonight would be that wonderful supernatural moment, a divine purpose tonight, that you would give your heart to Christ. So pray this simple prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout. Is he worthy? Woo, is he worthy?
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you, and thank you for listening.